Imagine walking into a room to manage a software account doing, over $11 million a year.
Right. A massive account.
Yeah, massive. And everything looks perfectly healthy on paper. But your very first job is to tell the executives sitting across the table that they are basically resting on a ticking time bomb.
That is quite the way to kick off a meeting.
Well, that is exactly the situation we are tackling today.
No.
So, Zach, welcome to the Deep Dive. We are actually talking directly to you today because you have this 30-minute executive review panel coming up for the Adobe Customer Success Manager L4 role.
The big one.
Exactly. And your role play account for this interview is Caterpillar.
Right. And look, 30 minutes to manage five distinct executive personas in one room?
Yes.
I mean, that requires a completely different mindset.
It really does.
You don't win an L4 panel by just, reciting your resume or smiling and showing enthusiasm.
No, they've already read your resume.
Exactly. You win by diagnosing their business so thoroughly that they feel like you already work there.
So our mission today is to synthesize this massive intelligence stack we have. We're looking at Caterpillar's business model, Adobe's AI playbook, the specific executives you'll be facing, and how to position your unique background as the missing puzzle piece.
Using that STAR format, right? Situation, task, action, result.
Yes, exactly. Think of this account like one of Caterpillar's massive D11 bulldozers. Like the engine is roaring, the steel treads are perfect, but the hydraulic system that actually lifts the blade,
It's completely dry.
right, the fluid is totally drained. So you can make a lot of noise, but you can't actually move any dirt. We are going to show you how to flip that switch and fix the hydraulics.
And to do that, well, we have to start with the foundational reality of Caterpillar's business.
The situation part of the STAR method.
Precisely. Before you suggest any software solution, Zach, you must prove you understand how they actually make their money. I mean, we are talking about a titan in the heavy equipment space.
Yeah, pulling in what, $64.8 billion in revenue in 2024?
Right. But their underlying machinery is built on a very classic razor and blades model.
So the massive yellow excavators, the autonomous mining trucks, those are the razors.
Exactly. They are highly visible, but the real margin, the actual profit, comes from pulling through the aftermarket parts and the services. Those are the blades.
And Caterpillar has drawn a real line in the sand here with a very public board-level goal. They're pushing to reach $28 billion in services revenue by 2026.
That is the magic number, 28 billion. Every single software pitch, every strategy Zach brings to this panel has to map back to that North Star.
Make them see how you help them hit 28 billion.
Right. But there is a massive operational hurdle in their way because Caterpillar doesn't actually sell directly to the end user for the most part.
Oh, right, the dealer network.
Yeah, they operate through this sprawling network of over 150 independent, locally owned dealers.
And these aren't just corporate branch offices, right?
No, not at all. They are entirely separate businesses with their own P&Ls.
Got it.
Yeah.
So when we look at Caterpillar's current Adobe footprint, I mean, it actually looks incredible at first glance.
It's a monster footprint.
Yeah, they are spending about $11.3 million in annual recurring revenue across the stack. You've got Adobe Experience Manager, Marketo, Workfront.
The works.
And on top of that, they have a $950,000 Ultimate Success Plan. So wait, let me push back here for a second.
Sure.
$11 million in ARR is massive. If I'm the account manager and my client is spending that much and they're, seemingly happy, I'm not rocking the boat. Why on earth would Zach walk in and manufacture a crisis?
Because in the enterprise SaaS world, flat is a downgrade waiting to happen.
Flat is a downgrade. Okay, explain that.
The crisis is actually already there. They just haven't looked at the dashboard yet. Caterpillar has an entitlement to Adobe's generative and agentic AI layer included in that massive spend.
Okay.
But their consumption of those AI features is sitting at exactly $0. Zero live use cases. So when budget season comes around, some executive is going to look at that $0 return on AI, look at the $950,000 ultimate success fee, and demand to know why they are paying for a premium tier when they aren't utilizing the platform's most advanced capabilities.
And suddenly, the entire $11 million renewal becomes instantly vulnerable.
Exactly. The foundation is solid, but complacency is the real danger.
Okay, so Zach's primary situation to address is turning that $0 AI baseline into a live, measured use case that drives real value.
That's the task. But he has to tread very, very carefully here.
Why? Because of Cat Digital.
Yes. Caterpillar already has a highly sophisticated internal AI team called Cat Digital. It's led by Ogi Redzik.
Right, and they built a platform called Helios.
Exactly. And Helios is no joke. They are running predictive maintenance algorithms. They're managing fleets of autonomous mining trucks. I mean, this is heavy-duty operational AI.
So Zach needs to establish a clear demarcation line the very moment he starts talking about AI.
He has to. If he walks into that panel and tries to pitch Adobe AI as some overarching intelligence layer that competes with Helios,
they'll laugh him out of the room.
Immediately. He must explicitly concede the operational AI layer to Cat Digital. He needs to tell them, look, you own the predictive maintenance. You own the truck telemetry. We are not touching that.
We are just here to win the marketing and customer experience AI layer.
Perfectly said.
But how does that actually work in practice, though? Like, if I'm the VP of IT at Caterpillar, I do not want two different AI brains in my company that can't even talk to each other.
Right, the silo problem.
Right.
Well, Adobe uses an open standard called the Model Context Protocol, or MCP.
MCP, okay.
It allows different AI models to communicate securely without having to merge their underlying databases.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. So Adobe's Agent Orchestrator can query Helios for, say, real-time telemetry data on a customer's tractor. It takes that data, wraps it in a personalized marketing email offering a specific replacement part, and sends it out.
Wow. So it interoperates alongside Helios as an extension. It's not trying to rip and replace all their custom engineering.
Exactly. It's additive, not competitive.
Okay, so we have the coexistence strategy locked in. That leads us directly into the core play Zach should pitch, which is industrializing their on-brand dealer creative.
This is where it gets really good.
Let's think back to those 150-plus independent dealers. It's like trying to get 150 independent franchise chefs to make the exact same complex dish by hand every single night.
It's impossible. Someone is going to burn the sauce.
Exactly. Someone uses the wrong garnish and it just doesn't scale. These local dealers are trying to localize marketing content for their specific regions, but they are required to adhere strictly to Caterpillar's modern hex brand identity.
And that exact Pantone shade of cat yellow.
Right. And what happens? Dealership marketing teams often resort to just manual editing, which creates massive bottlenecks.
And huge brand compliance issues. So Zach needs to show them how Firefly Custom Models fundamentally solves this problem.
Because you don't just give them a generic image generator, right?
No. You train a specific Firefly model exclusively on Caterpillar's exact visual guidelines, their approved fonts, their actual product photography.
So using GenStudio, a local dealer in Germany can generate a localized, perfectly on-brand promotional asset for a new excavator in seconds.
Seconds, rather than waiting weeks for corporate approval in Illinois. The ingredients are essentially pre-mixed and locked in by corporate.
That is a brilliant analogy, but Zach needs to back this up with hard proof in the room. And looking at our intelligence stack, it points straight to the Lumen Technologies case study.
Oh, the Lumen case study is his golden ticket here.
Right, because Lumen used GenStudio to cut their B2B campaign launch times from 25 days down to just 9 days.
But the mechanism behind that time savings is what Zach really needs to highlight. Lumen didn't just have their designers type faster. They eliminated the endless revision loops. I mean, before GenStudio, producing a campaign meant briefing an agency, waiting for initial designs, kicking them back for brand compliance errors, manually resizing assets for 10 different social channels.
Just incredibly manual work.
Yes. GenStudio automated the compliance and the asset variations, allowing Lumen to produce assets 3 times faster.
So that is the hard operational metric Zach uses to prove this is a scalable reality, not just some fluffy marketing theory.
Exactly. It shows he understands process, not just software.
Okay, so we know we have to bypass Cat Digital's internal AI team. We focus strictly on dealer creative.
Mm-hmm.
But having a brilliant strategy doesn't really matter if you can't sell it to the specific people holding the checkbook in that panel.
And that panel is a tough crowd.
Zach, you are facing a room of distinct personas with very competing priorities. First, you have Maggie, the CMO. She is entirely focused on hitting that $28 billion aftermarket services goal.
So every creative localization play Zach pitches has to end with how it drives more local part sales for Maggie.
Right. Then alongside Maggie is Devlin, the newly minted head of AI. Now, Devlin is in a high-pressure situation.
Very high pressure. He needs a bounded, high-visibility lighthouse win within his first quarter.
Just to secure his organizational runway and prove his department's worth.
Exactly. So if Zach can deliver that localized dealer creative AI use case quickly, he turns Devlin into a massive internal champion.
Okay, and then we have Rebecca, the VP of IT and the ultimate budget owner. She does not want to hear about expanding the budget or buying new toys.
Not at all.
And this brings up a huge point. Looking at the dossier we have on Zach, I noticed a massive gap that might be an issue here.
Oh.
Let's be real. Zach's background isn't strictly in MarTech. Like, he's coming from data security, privacy, DSPM, and AI governance from his time at Big ID. Plus, he spent time managing SaaS spend at Productive.
Right.
Isn't that a huge liability for an Adobe customer success interview?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this panel is full of marketing tech experts. Won't they just eat him alive?
You would definitely think so on the surface.
Right.
It looks like a vulnerability. But in reality, for a risk-averse, global, heavy manufacturer like Caterpillar, Zach's background is actually his ultimate superpower. It is the perfect wedge into this account.
Wait, really? How?
Because enterprise AI adoption isn't being blocked by a lack of cool marketing ideas.
Okay.
It is paralyzed by governance. Rebecca and Devlin are terrified of some rogue regional marketing team using a consumer AI tool that scrapes copyrighted imagery.
Oh, and accidentally leaking proprietary cat designs.
Yes. Or opening the company up to a massive intellectual property lawsuit. That is what keeps them up at night.
So when Zach speaks to them, he shouldn't try to outmarket the marketing team.
Exactly. He leans entirely into his Big ID experience. He positions himself as a governance and data security expert who specializes in making enterprise AI commercially safe.
That is such a good pivot.
He needs to introduce them to C2PA content credentials.
Okay, let's break that down for a second because it sounds like alphabet soup. What is C2PA actually doing under the hood?
Think of it like a cryptographic wax seal or a digital nutrition label that gets permanently attached to the metadata of an image.
A nutrition label. I like that.
Yeah, it proves the provenance of an asset. When Adobe Firefly generates an image of a tractor, the C2PA credential proves exactly which commercially safe licensed data sets were used to train that specific generation.
So it proves no unauthorized Getty images or competitor IP was scraped to make it.
Exactly. Combine that with Adobe's corporate IP indemnification, meaning Adobe legally protects the customer against copyright claims, and Zach completely de-risks the AI leap.
Wow.
He can look Rebecca right in the eye and say, look, my entire career is built on data security. Adobe's AI is insulated, indemnified, and centrally governed.
That just reframes his entire candidacy. Like, he isn't a software vendor trying to sell them a tool. He is an enterprise risk mitigator.
Exactly. He speaks her language natively.
That solves the panel dynamics beautifully. But we still have the hurdle of that $950,000 ultimate success investment.
The big ticket item.
Yeah. If I'm Rebecca, the budget owner, I'm looking at that nearly $1 million charge, and I am demanding to know what tangible value we are getting. Because it's not a software license.
No, Ultimate Success is a premium support and success tier.
Right.
It provides Caterpillar with a named customer success manager, which hopefully would be Zach technical account managers, and crucially, access to success accelerators, which are these prepackaged consulting sprints.
So this tier cannot just be a feel-good line item for weekly check-ins.
Absolutely not. It must pay for itself through hard dollar outcomes.
Which means Zach has to bring a ruthless 90-day plan to the panel.
Yes, the result part of the STAR method.
Right. He needs to prove he can orchestrate that value realization immediately. So if month one is purely about, say, mapping the political landscape, learning the massive account architecture, and establishing a composite customer health score.
Right, multi-threading relationships, so he's not just relying on Cat Digital.
Exactly. So then month two has to be where they actually draw the blueprints for that AI use case, right?
Mm-hmm. Month two is entirely about scoping the Lighthouse use case, that localized dealer creative play we discussed, and assigning strict operational owners on both the Adobe and Caterpillar sides.
Because you don't just build the technology, you have to build the workflow.
Right. Who approves the prompts? Who reviews the C2PA credentials? You have to map all of that out.
So that month three is execution, getting the Lighthouse live, getting the dealer adoption measured, and definitively moving Caterpillar off that $0 AI baseline.
Yes. So by the time he runs his first quarterly business review, he can show Rebecca the exact return on her ultimate success investment based on dealer efficiency gains.
That is a bulletproof 90-day plan.
But pulling this off requires absolute precision in the room.
What do you mean?
Adobe has a massive, complex product suite. Features are constantly evolving or being rebranded. If Zach misspeaks about where a capability lives, he immediately compromises the technical authority he just built with his governance background.
Oh, that's a really good point. Let's navigate some of the common traps in the product suite then. For example, if Zach wants to talk about predictive lead scoring, like analyzing which dealership is most likely to close a fleet upgrade, where does he point them?
He absolutely cannot say Marketo Engage.
Really? I feel like everyone just assumes lead scoring is Marketo.
It's a common mistake. Classic Marketo relies on simple, rule-based scoring logic. You know, if a customer clicks an email, add 5 points.
Right.
But predictive, machine learning-based scoring requires massive, unified data sets, which is why it actually lives in real-time CDP B2B.
The customer data platform.
Exactly. A CDP stitches together siloed databases, CRM data, offline dealer sales, website behavior into one unified profile. Zach has to specify that the predictive AI sits on top of the CDP, not the email platform.
Okay, that is crucial. Another potential landmine I see. Forecasting and intelligent captions. I know a lot of people just assume anything with charts and data lives in classic Adobe Analytics.
Oh, another huge trap. Those advanced AI features actually live in Customer Journey Analytics, or CJA.
CJA, okay.
Classic Adobe Analytics is great for web traffic, but CJA allows you to ingest omnichannel data, including offline dealership interactions.
Which is critical for heavy equipment sales.
Right.
Because multi-million dollar deals aren't closed in a web browser.
Exactly. Zach must say, we will leverage customer journey analytics for AI forecasting, not just analytics.
Okay, so precision on the names is key. Let's bring this back to Rebecca for a second, because VP of IT budget owners are always looking for ways to trim the fat.
Always.
When she inevitably pushes back and suggests, hey, why don't we just buy a cheaper standalone AI point solution for the dealers instead of leaning into Adobe? Zach needs a silver bullet to shut that down.
And looking at our sources, the Trimble case study is exactly what he needs.
Yes, Trimble. Walk us through that.
Trimble is the perfect defensive weapon here. They consolidated 15 disparate marketing technology tools onto the Adobe Foundation and saved over $500,000.
$500,000 just by consolidating.
Exactly. Zach needs to explain the hidden costs of cheap software to Rebecca. A $10 a month AI tool sounds great until IT has to run a 6-month security audit, build custom API integrations, and manage separate data privacy compliance for it.
Cheaper on the sticker is frequently more expensive on the invoice.
That is the exact phrase he should use. Consolidate on the Adobe Foundation they already pay for and that already passed Rebecca's strict security requirements is the only true cost-saving maneuver.
So we have the complete architecture for Zach's presentation. He diagnoses the hidden threat of the $0 AI baseline within their seemingly healthy $11.3 million spend.
Check.
He respects Cat Digital's territory by pitching Adobe Agent Orchestrator to work alongside Helios using the Model Context Protocol.
Check.
He leverages his Big ID security background to sell commercially safe, C2PA verified dealer creative using Firefly custom models. And he operationalizes it all with a ruthless 90-day plan to justify the $950,000 ultimate success tier. Zach, if you walk into that room and execute that narrative, you aren't just an L4 candidate, you are already operating as their customer success manager.
It is a winning playbook. But before we close, there is one final critical concept from the intelligence stack that Zach should really hold in his back pocket.
Ooh, a trump card. What is it?
It's a future-looking threat that is actively endangering Caterpillar's $28 billion services goal right now. It's called Generative Engine Optimization, or GEO.
GEO. Okay, explain that, because the search landscape is fundamentally shifting right now.
It is. Heavy machinery buyers, we're talking contractors, fleet mechanics, they're increasingly bypassing traditional Google searches.
Right. They aren't going to Caterpillar's website and clicking through 3 layers of drop-down menus to find a part.
No, they are pulling out their phones, opening ChatGPT or Perplexity, and just typing, which hydraulic pump do I need for a Cat 320 excavator?
And if Caterpillar's own documentation and parts catalogs aren't explicitly structured to be ingested and cited by those large language models?
Caterpillar becomes invisible at the exact moment of purchase intent.
Wow.
The AI might scrape a forum and recommend a third-party aftermarket knockoff part instead of the genuine cat blade.
And for an e-commerce operation trying to hit $28 billion, losing visibility in AI search is a catastrophic blind spot.
It's a leak in the boat.
Right. So bridging that visibility gap using Adobe LLM Optimizer isn't just some interesting marketing trick. It is a board-level defense mechanism for their entire revenue engine.
Exactly. Zach, if you can articulate that specific threat at the end of your presentation and show them how Adobe serves as the shield, you elevate your entire interview from a software discussion to a corporate strategy consultation.
You become the partner who saves them from the blind spot they didn't even know they had.
It proves an elite synthesis. You know their overarching business strategy, and you can map it to the exact technical capability of the platform.
That is how you close a panel. Zach, you have the intelligence, you have the strategy, and you have the unique background to pull this off. They have the massive machinery, and they have the fuel. Your job is to look them in the eye, lean on your governance credentials, and prove you know exactly how to activate the systems they are currently too afraid to touch. Good luck in the panel. You're going to crush it.